Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Off.
Go for it.
My mouth hurts.
Oh, poor. It's all them late nights, man. You're up raving. Nah, no, you got that too,
finger. Yeah, you know me. I'm all about the nightlife.
It is that nightlife. That nightlife. Welcome to, and that's why we messed up, a podcast about nerdery, geekism, and all else in between from a South London postcode. I am Shanners, one of your amazing, daring hosts. Next to me, I have the instant classic.
Ow.
Oh, poor Rav. And Booger Red, coming off shift. You all right, mate? You all right, dude? The shift was okay, yeah? Wow, it's quiet then.
I'm not too bad, thank you. Only function on 2 hours sleep, but sleep is for the week. How is everyone doing?
No, it's not. It's for the person, the people here. We're talking about.
No, it's not. Not at all. Sleep not for the week. No, I'm not doing that. That sleep is because of the death of Moloch. No, thank you very much.
That's definitely counterintuitive right there. I'm sorry.
People, get your sleep, please. Get some rest. Get some R&R. Let's do this fool up watching WWE till God knows. So
7 a.m. Yes, 7 a.m. Thank you, Vincent Kennedy.
I'm going to call you Christina Milian from now on. From AM to PM. Somebody hit the lights. Because literally, you're just on some shift work. Christina. That's your new name. Christina Milian. Well, welcome, please. And this week, I'm not even sure what we're doing because it's down to Bruv. Bruv, what is the topic this week?
I'm glad you asked. So, I was asked recently why I haven't tackled the subject, but I'm going to say some storylines, and then you can kind of guess what I'm talking about, all right?
Okay.
So, our main character has been called from an old friend to find out why certain birds are migrating in a certain part of the world. And sadly, they basically walk into a huge, and I mean a huge, swarm or infestation of fire ants, literally destroying the infrastructure of this area, and they have to work together to try and stop these ants from spreading. Okay, what would you think that comes from? What film? What thing? What comes to mind? Does that ring any bells or anything like that?
Kind of that. No, yes and no. Okay.
Huh? Okay. I'll give you another one. A very passionate scientist, unbeknownst to the people she works with, snuck a lab sample onto a satellite to see what would happen to the sample while it's in the space atmosphere. The satellite crash lands and the sample breaks loose, rapidly aging everything in the area, anything biological, so not plant life, but animal life, back bug life and human life. It was age rapidly. Does that sound familiar? Does that ring any bells? Do you think you've seen that anything anywhere any point?
That's not Jason the Warriors.
Okay, I'll give you one more.
Oh my god. Okay. I think I'm gonna kick myself when you tell me what it is.
All right. While trying to map out a certain area of the woods, our main character runs in or finds a abandoned ship. He goes on to see what happens. He finds as a lone survivor, a young girl, a young foreign girl who scared out of her wits, not speaking any word of English, but she's unharmed. But they seem to have run into a creature, a possible Bigfoot or Sasquatch.
I know this. It's bugging me now. Oh, it's bugging me.
I'm gonna put you out your misery. Okay.
Go on.
These are all episodes of one and only MacGyver.
Yeah. Oh my god! Oh my.
Angus Stacey MacGyver.
Why? I'm sorry, what?
What?
Sorry, what? Angus Stacey MacGyver.
Okay, let me explain. All right. Once upon a time, when MacGyver was originally listed back in the day, they were originally going to give him the name Stacey MacGyver, but they didn't go with it in the end. You didn't actually find out what his first name was until season 7, which is basically close to the end of it. And his first name obviously turned out to be Angus, but Stacey was originally supposed to be his real name. So there you go. The more you know.
Wow, my mind is blown. I was thinking, I know I'm not up on my anime, but I literally was literally like, is it Kartik? Because they sound unreal. Oh my god, MacGyver. We're finally doing the MacGyver episode.
We are doing the MacGyver episode.
Wow, well done. It's taking you. Well done. Taking a while. Go for it, bruv.
So, MacGyver has a very special place in my heart. I remember it was Saturday afternoons, ITV. 6 o'clock, I would say, I think it would be, and there would be this amazing, mulleted, beautiful white man who was who at one time took out two guys' rocket launchers with a wrench, a shoelace, and a paperclip, and took those guys out. I also saw him once. Like amazingly seal a acid reactor with chocolate. I've also seen make a hang glider with spare parts from a satellite. So you know the man is very capable of doing amazing things with what he has to work. So yeah, MacGyver's just he like you were on two sides back in my day, like when the kids in school. You were either A team or you were MacGyver. I was MacGyver all the way. I had nothing but love for A team. MacGyver was the man because he was, I mean this in the nicest way, he was the wish equivalent to Bond. Because let's be honest, if anyone watched the first season, because like for my research, I basically started watching MacGyver again from scratch. So I basically I've made it up to season 4, and I'm still because I've enjoying the run so far so much, I'm still going, and I even forgot there were two TV films, so I got a lot more to watch. So I'm looking forward, so I'm so happy.
That's why you're a little bit late there. Sorry, it's like you're watching MacGyver. I should have known.
He's racing right now. It's amazing. He's been a race car driver. But anyway,
How many were there?
There were 7 seasons of the TV series from 1987 to 1992. Then in 1994, there were 2 straight to TV films, and then obviously there was a big hiatus, and they did try to bring it back in 2003. Yes, with a show called Young MacGyver, starring Jared Padalecki of Supernatural fame. I saw the Young MacGyver years back.
Are you okay? Are you all right?
And anyway, in 2016, they did a remake of MacGyver, and I've got to say, I genuinely actually quite liked it. They did a really good job paying homage. Some of the original cast or original recurring characters did come back in the remake in a weird way, but it worked out pretty well, to be fair. So the remake has finished now. I haven't finished it myself. I still got the last season to watch, but it was a good run. I really appreciate for what it did.
Okay.
MacGyver. What did MacGyver do for you guys?
The soundtrack meant silence in my. It meant silence. It basically meant I just remember you watching it coming up, and I knew I could do my own stuff because you'd be quiet for the hour. And you'd watch it because you just hear that gone.
Best theme song. You can't at me with that. The best theme song.
I've got to say the MacGyver theme. I think the only theme to top the MacGyver theme for me is the Panthro theme from Thundercats. and in terms of feels, the Quantum Leap soundtrack. Those ones are top three. They're top tier. So MacGyver, the Panthro, and Quantum Leap. At me if you want. I don't care. I said what I said. To me, it's like MacGyver's one of those things where it's like in the 90s, there were loads of stuff that had a certain formula. You've got the kind of rugged former insert here, you know, Navy, Army, Air Force, whatever. You had the retired insert here, friend. Cause it started from like really like from Magnum PI. Then we get into Blue Thunder. We get into also insert secret government project here as well. It's another thing. Like, look at you, Knight Rider. Look at you, Airwolf as well. So it belongs to that kind of thing of the white guy who's at the front, who's either recruited or doing stuff or has a special set of skills. But there was, I think I was tidying up or something and I was watching it over your shoulder. And I remember just standing there watching this man use a paper clip, something else, a tin can. And I was like, wait, so, and a tampon and something else. I was like, what is and it's just this and something from a yucca plant and this and that and some urine, and I'm like, wait, is that a bomb? You were hypnotized. I was just like, I can't turn away, but I'm also scared. And then just watching him do the equivalent of like the night in, you know, like a night Nightmare on Elm Street, the booby trap sex section with Nancy being done every week, and I just with different things, and I just was like, okay, wow. Oh, and also the mullet. We got to talk about the mullet. I mean,
hey, look, man, the mullet was rocking some REO Speedwagon tribute right there.
He made the mullet look good. I'm not even gonna lie.
I've gotta say, respect. His mullet is as intrinsic as Mark Singer's bandy legs in the running. It's just intrinsic to the '80s, 90s. Come think about it. You can't if you can't see it without quite that little, like, you know, Mark, we began this whole thing talking about V and Mark Singer and his running and his leather gloves. The natural progression from that was MacGyver. And I can make bombs out of everything. And booby traps.
He legitimately can. I think the things that made MacGyver special were obviously he never used guns. So, but in the first ever episode of MacGyver, he was using a gun. They're like what they do is they cut it out now, because I've still got on DVD, and in the DVD copy, you can see him clearly using an AK-47. But like when he came to flashbacks of that moment, or even actually like there was actually the copies I've got at the moment, which I got legally, obviously, they cut, like, you saw him holding the gun in a certain way, aiming it, but you don't see him shooting it in the copies. So I was like, oh, they edit it out. Okay, I see why. Okay, I get it. Because obviously the whole mess-up of MacGyver is he hates guns. He never uses guns. If you ever see him use a gun in the show, it's an unconventional way. Like, even with the remake, it was he either used a gun to knock someone out by hitting them or using it as a rudimentary wrench. I kid you not, or to use it to lock a door once.
Okay.
But yeah, like, I actually, talking on the whole not using guns, I actually saw the episode recently, today, on why he doesn't use guns, and bloody hell, it was heart-wrenching. I was like, oh.
What? You're going to say, why doesn't he use guns?
So, when he was a kid, he had four friends. They were, he referred to as blood brothers. Actually, one of, as those friends got older, one of them turned out to be Hitchcock from Brooklyn Nine-Nine, actually. So,
stop!
Yeah, exactly. Like, the amount of people who were in MacGyver that were like, holy shit. Okay, like Robert Englund, Jackie Earl, bloody Terry Hatcher was a reoccurring character. Sid Haig of House of a Thousand Corpses.
He
appeared in it. Like the amount of people who that were just in it, but and a lot of them played like for example, I forget her name. Nana Visitor. She was in Deep Space Nine as Lieutenant the Bajoran with the nose thing, the ear thing.
Yes.
She was in MacGyver twice. Once as one of his old friends in the first season. The second season, she was a woman that randomly found him when he had amnesia.
Right, okay.
MacGyver had amnesia twice, by the way. But anyway,
that's a 90s trope. I'm trying to think. Is there a 90s series that didn't at some point use the amnesia storyline or the twins storyline? Is there a twin storyline in MacGyver?
If there is, I haven't reached it yet. So
okay.
But the reason he doesn't use guns was when he was a kid, him and his three friends got their hands on a gun and they decided to buy bullets and play with it in the woods by shooting bottles. And one of their friends, Jesse, didn't want to do it, so he basically said, I'll just keep score and watch them play with the gun. MacGyver passed the gun to one of his friends. His friends were shooting the bottles, and then that friend saw that there was like a bird in the tree and was about to shoot it, and MacGyver stopped him from doing that because obviously MacGyver loves animals and he's a humanitarian. I mean, like, as a kid, he was still doing his MacGyver stuff anyway. And he hit the gun out of the kid's hand. It was cocked. It fell to the floor. And it shot Jesse, and sadly Jesse passed away from the gunshot, and so he vowed from that moment never to use a gun ever again. So that's why you do have you never see him use a gun. Like I said, unconventional, but he did actually when it comes to MacGyver, he was more like badass than you realize. Like he did to participate in the Vietnam War as bomb defusal, hence his
I remember that.
He obviously has a degree in, I forget. Oh. I wrote it down and I can't find it. I wrote somebody notes down. He has degrees in physics and chemistry.
Of course,
master engineer, right? Genius. He has got genius level intellect, but he really just plays it off like he's one of the boys because he is a genius at the end of the day. And he's versed in seven languages, maybe five languages. But so he is a wish James Bond. He really is. In the first season, he was just a freelance guy who worked for a company called DXS. He would be the specialist he'll call him when they had no one else. And then he transitioned to an organization called the Phoenix Foundation, which is a think tank. But in the remake, they changed it up a bit. So basically DXS, he still worked for DXS, but it was basically pretending to be the think tank called the Phoenix Foundation. So that's what they did in the remake.
Right, okay.
But interesting.
What is it that struck you in particular? What captivated you about MacGyver? And Big Man too, because you've been a bit quiet on this. What captivated y'all both about MacGyver?
You want to go first, bro?
No, man, you've been silent, mate.
For real, yeah, your turn, man.
I'm worried about you going to fall asleep because you're night shift.
That's what I was going to say. Night shift. Come on. Christina, come on, I beg you talk, yeah?
No. This just brought back memories of just watching this on LWT on a Saturday afternoon.
No, it's BBC.
You know, was it BBC?
No, it was ITV.
Oh, damn, I'm lying. Sorry, my bad.
No, but the thing about MacGyver, everything you said, it was like the TV James Bond, he was cool. What just stands out to me is of no matter when the chips were down, you could have Baker foil, a Duracell battery,
some lint in his pocket.
Yeah. And it's about to get explosive. And it always, for me, it's just those typical 90s era where no matter how bad the scenario was, that problem was going to end with someone always laughing and smiling and cracking a joke and credits are rolling. But I think
unless it's a season finale and it's going to be a cliffhanger.
That's the thing. Cliffhanger season finales were very rare. They didn't really do that, to be honest. Mm. But like you say, that always ended with like a, you know, a happy moment where it's like a freeze frame with smiling faces. That didn't always happen.
Really?
I remember some sad one, people leaving and stuff and abandoning. I'm sorry. I remember some sad music.
Like for example, the episode I brought up about that Asian virus. So that had a really bad ending, like, because to be fair, like, it was during, I think season 3 this happened, it was, like, this episode was very, like, animal death heavy, like, really badly. Like, because obviously, like, the satellite landed in the woods, so, like, wolves, deer, rabbits, like, everything was just dying, like, you just walked past a lot of animal corpses in this one. And, lo and behold, the woman who caused it, she still thought she knew better. She said, "This is obviously. Do you know one of those annoyingly passionate doctors or professors that feel that they know better? They have this is going to benefit mankind in the long run. Blah blah blah. Like those people that are like one bad day from being a supervillain. Those people.
Basically, my girl from Deep Blue Sea.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But worse.
Or poison ivy. Yeah.
But she was like, because like they destroyed, they had the original strain of the virus and they destroyed it, but she kept another sample of it. And she was with her dog at the time, and MacGyver realized that she would do that. So he came out to check on her, and she sealed herself in, but her dog jumped up, hit the sample out of her hand, and it slowly killed the dog. It slowly killed her. She had some amazing 80s prosthetics on her face. It was brilliant. Oh god. They had to literally destroy the building, because obviously if they didn't destroy the building, it would have got out. And it literally like ended with MacGyver and Pete Thornton, his best friend, and the only actually ever cast member who was actually on the main start screen actually, to try and escape the building before it blew up. They did, and it was like ended with them. What a waste! And it was just serious downturn music, and then just walks away freeze frame.
Aww.
Now I take it back.
That's the thing with MacGyver. I think that's the thing with the plethora of stuff as well. Because now I'm thinking around the same time we're talking. So I always went for a couple, and there's other like there's the cop procedures like TJ Hooker and all that, and Hunter and all these other things. So I think that's probably how it distinguished itself. Mm. And I do remember it now, like I'm saying, a lot of kind of like it's all okay. This is gonna sound weird.
Oh, bring it on.
It's like, oh, this is going to sound so weird. It's like Captain Planet vibes, but weird. But MacGyver,
No, you're right.
Because it is like, like you've got to take care of what's around you and there are consequences. And also you don't have to go this certain route. So it's kind of, it is a bit Captain Planet-y. Apart from you're a tree.
I'll turn into a fucking tree. That's one of the key characteristics of MacGyver, that he is an advocate for environmental safety. And obviously, like, you mean like the episode I told you about when the origin of his hatred of guns, that was very like aimed at gun control in America. Like he was like a lot of it was like God, why is it always the guns? Blah, blah, blah. It's like literally, like it was like it was very of its time. Of like even to this day, we're still talking about gun control in America, and obviously there still needs to be a problem. It's a problem that needs to be dealt with. And they were talking about it in the 1988. We're talking, so it was clearly a problem. So
and now here we are in 2022, and they're banning Mouse. They're banning the graphic novel Mouse.
Wait, what now?
Oh, you didn't hear. A school in Tennessee decided to ban the graphic novel Mouse because, and I'm not even joking here, because of things like, well, you know, it's a tragic story, but kids don't need to be exposed to things like, you know, the fact that there's nudity in it about a mouse. If there is something I can take away from this episode, if you haven't read the Pulitzer award-winning, multi-award-winning 1986 graphic novel Mouse, pick it up. Pick it up. And if you happen to have a cousin or whatever in the United States, or send it to them. Send them the graphic novel. It's very important. It's an amazing novel. Please read it.
Very true.
Yeah.
Very true.
Thank you. But we move on.
So what she was?
I literally brought everything down again. Yeah.
You're talking about, you talk about like 80s tropes. One of my favorite tropes in MacGyver, they did so many times actually. Not as many as I thought, but then I'm only like up to like season 4. So I need to know how many. I'm gonna tell you how many times I do this by the end of it. But so far, yeah. I'm on 8 at the moment. So I call this the old friend trope. So. MacGyver, having quite a few times, especially in season one, wearing an old friend or an old teacher, he had to either meet them or they asked to meet him.
Yeah.
It's been a few years, like, you know, I need your help on this, MacGyver, blah, blah, blah. And what happens to the old friend?
They either A, die, or they B, they've turned on you. Basically, it's Nathan Drake. It's where Nathan Drake gets it from.
True.
Uncharted.
But mainly they all died. They all died. they usually all died. Like okay, for example, here's an example. Let's see. The ant episode I told you about, the old friend. All right. These ants were fucking sentient. It was scary how smart these ants were. But I digress. But yeah, an old friend asked MacGyver to help him. To find out why the bird population and animal population of this certain place was migrating so rapidly, blah blah blah. Turned out there was a huge swarm of ants just destroyed everything, people, animals, etc. And he got caught up. He lasted the longest, I would say, but he lasted about 15 minutes. Because usually they die instantly. He died. He got killed by ants. So that was one. There was a tragic one with his old best friend who actually loved him. A girl called Mike. They were rock climbing on a mountain called the Widow's Peak. That's not for better at all. But anyway, I digress once again. When they took a break, Mike kind of confessed her feelings towards Mac, aka MacGyver, he didn't obviously feel the same way, so I'm as a friend, and obviously she was emotional. So you really want to go up when you're emotional climbing a mountain called the
That's a great mix.
Yeah, so basically she got cliffhangered. That's where cliffhanger got the idea, basically, to be honest. She fell down the mountain and died, and then MacGyver went into a depression, and then things got a bit dark for him for a bit, but I digress.
Here's a question. Does he continually keep doing the narrating over it?
Occasionally. So
I felt like in the beginning there's a lot of like kind of him narrating, and then as it went on it stopped.
It comes from times, and it depends on the situation. If it's like a life or death situation, there's usually a story about him and his granddad or his friend learning about blah blah blah. I think that's one of the main problems, other than it being shit, one of the main problems with young MacGyver, because there was really no explanation on what he was doing to save the day. It was just rushed. He got the Swiss Army knife out and he was just doing things. You didn't know what he was doing. And that's the thing with MacGyver in general. You always saw bit by bit what he was doing.
Yeah.
And he was even explaining what he was doing.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
A lot of the times. But before I forget, I got to talk about my favorite. My favorite old French trope. My boy, Charlie Robinson. Now, people wonder who Charlie Robinson is. Oh, Charlie Robinson. He was doomed from the get-go. And why do you say, why do I say that?
I've got a feeling, but go on.
Well, first, he was black.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Second, he was an old friend from Vietnam that him and
Third,
he recently got married and he was expecting his first child.
Oh, that's it then.
You might as well send. You might as well send.
The only other nail in the coffin is if he's played by Glenn Tubman.
No, he was played by Stephen Williams.
Oh, darn. Deep Throat. X-Files, yeah?
No. 21 Jump Street. Or Jason Goes to Hell, the Bounty Hunter.
The Bounty Hunter. Oh,
yeah.
That's it. Yeah. Oh, well, that's it for
a minute. Or what's his name's Granddad.
In the recent It.
Yeah.
I was going to say, was there a line out about he's only 2 days away from retirement? Because that's the other death note, isn't it?
Yeah. He might as well have said that. One thing I'll give the remake credit for, because they brought this character in to the remake. So my first thought, oh, he's dead. That's Charlie, he's dead. But he didn't die. And he came out the second season.
Wow.
And I was like, damn. I was like, oh, it's Charlie. He must be dying this season. No, he didn't die. And he came back in the third season, but I think it was the fourth season he came back. And I was like, oh, it's just Charlie now, it's all good. Charlie's just a reoccurring character. And
they're gonna kill him in the end.
They did.
I knew it. Yeah.
So
got you comfortable. I knew it.
It was so heart-wrenching as well. RoboCop killed him.
What?
Peter Weller was a bad guy now.
I didn't know about Big man woke up there. What the?
RoboCop was in MacGyver. What?
Oh, can you imagine? Oh my god, that'd be amazing. RoboCop v MacGyver. MacGyver would win.
I am not even gonna argue that, because I have nothing but faith in my boy.
He'd find a way to kind of access his programming.
He would legitimately make an EMP with a toothpaste, a banana plug.
Some lint from his belly button. Some baked beans. A spray can. And yeah, something metal. That'd be it. I love the fact that out of all of them, like,
I feel like I'm hoping it was like longer than Airwolf on Blue Thunder, because I think there was a kind of fascination with like tech in that time. The things that would take us towards this new exciting, so like Blue Thunder, and Blue Thunder had was a movie first, and then it became a series. Airwolf, because you know, helicopters, because you know, need another one. Street Hawk, Knight Rider, of course. I think the thing I like about MacGyver by comparison is it's like MacGyver's kind of like, you can have all the tech you want, but it's the people behind it that still. You still sometimes have to kind of get back to brass tacks and use the rudimentary stuff. And without that, it's pointless. And I like that. And I like that messaging around the environmental issues as well.
To be fair, that's what she takes. That's like a throwback to one of his, one of the episodes he did where there was AI was involved. And actually, it was June Chadwick from V.
I know June. She, God, was she? Oh, was it not Cynthia? But I know she
blonde,
was
the blonde
one. Yeah, blonde. Yeah, one.
That's what I know. It's the blonde one. I can't remember her name. But yeah. Let's see. But yeah, she created this AI system, defense system, and she wanted to take the human element out because obviously, because humans are prone for mistakes, humans are flawed, blah blah blah. And MacGyver's stance was you shouldn't take the human element out because that's just leaving you open to danger and even more mistakes. And lo and behold, the system goes crazy, and it's up to MacGyver to save the day by taking out rudimentary poor man's Daleks. I wish I was making that up. I'm not even joking. He takes on little mini Daleks with lasers, and he wins.
Can they go upstairs? Can they go upstairs though? What stairs are down?
The problem was there was no upstairs. It was just one level. And to be fair. Like, how did he beat them? He beat them with phone magnets, toilet paper, and a match.
That's what I'm saying. When the chips are down, MacGyver is your go-to guy.
He's the one you want backing you up all the time because he just has, the ability to think outside the box. Or literally set fire to the box and make a rudimentary lathe or nuclear weapon. Who knows? Because it's MacGyver and I won't put nothing past him.
Did you know he had an arch enemy as well?
No.
Yeah, he had an arch enemy called Murdoch. He was an assassin who couldn't die.
Like, okay, why?
Okay, so basically the first time he met Murdoch was actually before he joined the DSS. He was doing a favor for one of his friends, another recurring character called Jack Dalton, who was played by Bruce McGill.
I remember him.
Yeah, so think Last Boy Scout.
Last Boy Scout.
What's that? Collateral. So on and so forth. He's still going strong in the industry. But yeah, you've seen a favor like using this cab to get because Jack was in the hospital at the time. And he ran into Murdoch. Murdoch was Murdoch was an assassin, so he was a thing of disguise. He's a master of disguise. In this case, he was just like a woman, and that's where he met his friend Pete Thornton, who was the guy who gave him the jobs, the secret jobs, and who runs the Phoenix Foundation now. And push comes to shove. Long story short, basically. Murdoch went into a building that literally blew up and somehow he survived to come back to get revenge on the anniversary of the meeting. This time, he basically was trying to chase down MacGyver and Pete in a junkyard while throwing in a semi-pickup truck while throwing dynamite at them. And, that dynamite in a car, what do you think happened? Yeah, it blew up. He blew up. But then he came back again. This time, it was during that episode I told you about where him and his friend Mikey fell down the mountain. He came back while MacGyver was at his lowest point and tried to kill him. And he had him on the mountain, obviously, because obviously MacGyver needs his redemption to conquer the mountain that killed his friend. Blah, blah, blah.
Of course.
came to the final showdown between MacGyver and Murdoch. MacGyver got accidentally cut off his Murdoch accidentally cut off his rope that was his support rope, and he fell down the mountain. I'm pretty sure he's due back again because they didn't find the body.
Okay,
my man fell down the mountain and they didn't find a body.
So what was that, big man?
Sorry, he accidentally cut off his own rope.
Yeah.
Wait, what's the reason behind why Murdoch doesn't like MacGyver?
Oh, because he falls his plan. Okay, do you remember the whole shoelace, paperclip, wrench, two rocket launchers?
Yeah.
Murdoch set that up and he survived it. Because MacGyver left a sore taste in his mouth, he really wants to kill. He has a hate boner for him, basically. He has a really major hate boner. I'm pretty sure he hasn't come back since falling down the mountain, but I got a feeling he's due. I got a good feeling he's due. I'll let you know when he comes back.
He's essentially a mixture of Claw from Inspector Gadget meets Syndrome from The Incredibles.
Claw, no, I would say probably more like, I would definitely say Syndrome, but I would say he's more like, how can I put this? Who's cheese? He's more like Skeletor. I would say he's a human Skeletor, but another little fact, the actor who played Murdoch, British actor, he actually came back into the original MacGyver to play the guy who trained the Murdoch in the new season, in the new remake.
I knew you were going to say it. It was so obvious that he's going to train the new villain because...
He wanted revenge on Murdoch for killing something or other. Because obviously the new Murdoch in the remake is played by... I forget the actor's name. He played Polka Dot Man in Suicide Squad.
Oh,
David something.
Yeah. Even though, let's be real, Murdoch was just jealous of MacGyver's mullet. That's what it is. It's homoerotic.
I don't know. To be fair, he had a pretty decent mullet himself, but you know.
Yeah,
No one has MacGyver's mullet other than MacGyver. No one has MacGyver.
Exactly.
You just bring about the 80s vibes when you mention the word mullet.
Yeah, but not everyone could do it. MacGyver could do the mullet.
But wasn't MacGyver's mullet that bad though? Because from memory, I don't think it was that bad.
It got more mullety after mullety. It got more mulletly. New word. I would say in seasons three and upwards, I would say it became more like its own entity after that.
No.
Oh yeah, it's got a lot of feathering. Oh God, I'm gonna share a picture and big man, I need you to rescind what you just said, because this one actually looks like that this mullet has a life of its own, and it looks like another character. It's from an episode called Children of Light.
That's the one that had James Hong in it. He died of a broken heart.
Wow. Okay.
He came back to play another character in the next season.
Of course he did.
Oh my God, the amount of times they reused actors, it was amazing. Oh my God, it was like...
Oh, I remember James Hong being reused several times.
He was used three times. Oh, it's beautiful.
But then again, we can't even say nothing, because the same thing happened in... that's actually already happened in the MCU, Alfred Woodard.
The same thing happens happens everywhere. Like,
yes. It's like, come on, people. Like,
they can't do it. They can't not do it. But they do it in Smallville. They do it in CSI. They do it in Marvel.
Smallville's insulting because they actually got twins. That's where it gets more insulting. that's where it's rude. That's where it's actually like, you're working brain on me now. Like hiring all the Hemsworths.
Clearly, one twin was cheaper than the other. All right, that's how it works. Let's be honest. Sean is a cheap one. Wait, no. Aaron's the cheap one. Sorry, Sean.
No, what did I say? That's not Sean. The other one's the cheap one. It's the teeth.
I didn't ask a question, bro. What is Richard? All right, who played MacGyver? Was Richard Dean and
Richard Dean Anderson? Richard Dean
Anderson. What's he doing now? I remember the last thing he did was Stargate.
Yeah, the SG9. Actually, that's one of the main reasons why I decided to do this episode, because he recently turned 72.
Shut up.
Yeah, 72 years
old. 72?
72 years old, 23rd of January, he turned 72.
Bro, to
be honest, I think he's not really doing much. I mean, he made a few appearances. Like, you can tell, for example, they wanted him back for the remake because... obviously, in the original, his parents were dead, but in the remake, his mum had died. He didn't really know what the situation is with his dad. But he found out his dad was the guy, it was the guy running the Phoenix Foundation. And his dad was basically a poor man's Richard Dean Anderson. Like, you could tell they wanted him to do that role because he was just a older version of MacGyver, in a sense, but a little bit more serious. But I don't know when I saw it, but I do recall him saying that he was kind of done with the character because it's all he's ever going to be known for. I mean, right now, the first episode of SG-1, they were just like mocking, they were just basically bringing up the whole MacGyver thing all the time. It kind of got annoying to a point. But
I want to give him a hug.
He's a great dad.
You want to give him a hug and then say, be careful what you got in your pockets. Do you have the sesame knife? Because that's very important right now. I feel a lot of affection for MacGyver. It's one of the things where the soundtrack has good memories for me.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And that's the problem I had with the new. That's the only problem I had with the remake, because the theme song started off the original and then it just changed into something completely bullshit.
But this is the thing I think with music, like, some things are so iconic, and the thing, like, it's at a certain point memory and music are intertwined for certain times. So it's kind of hard to override. Like the A-Team theme is just intertwined in a certain time. You can't redo it. I don't want to hear a grime version. It's just intertwined in a certain time, and it brings about certain memories. So therefore, redoing it, it's almost like a threat to those memories, kind of thing.
Yeah, of course.
So you can't, you feel a bit threatened by it. Like, I know there's going to be, they've announced recently, and Big Ben was the first to break the news to me, that they're going to do a Quantum Leap. I can't even say it. They're going to redo Quantum Leap.
Yeah. But the thing that's saving grace about that is Scott Bakula has a major role in that. Well, behind the scenes at the moment anyway. So it could possibly run, but that will be discussed in a future episode.
I mean, the thing is, like, bruv, obviously you're quite, so far, you're quite happy with the remake of MacGyver.
Yeah, someone like Lucas Till of X-Men First Class fame does a really good job playing a MacGyver. Especially making him modern, like, they don't overdo it, because, like, he basically has the same dress sense as MacGyver, just lacking the mullet, but he has the same mindset, but slightly more serious. So I think it's a good modern MacGyver. And I like what they did with it, because obviously in the original MacGyver, it was always, main cast-wise, it was always MacGyver and Pete Thornton, played by Dana Elkar. What they did was obviously give him a partner who was a still reoccurring character in the MacGyver franchise, a guy called Jack Dalton, who I spoke to about earlier. But in the remake, he was played by Greg Ayers from CSI, Nick Stokes.
Yeah, Nick Stokes.
And they had a really good buddy cop thing going on. Like, Greg was the muscle, so he was the guy who used the guns. Obviously, MacGyver was a specialist. And they changed the Pete character into a woman, Patricia Thornton, which was done really well. She was a badass in her own right as well. And they added a few more characters. And it works really well, because a really good ensemble cast. It kept the whole MacGyver cliches of him talking, basically talking to the audience, explaining what he's doing, and you're seeing in detail what he is doing. And making it to a modern standpoint, like, literally every single time he had to break someone's phone to do the shit he wanted to do, which made sense in a grand scheme of things. So, But yeah, the remake as a whole, yeah, I would put it on the level of Battlestar, to be fair.
You know what? See, you've just actually brought up a really... I was going to ask you a question, but you kind of answered it, which is, like, why remakes? And especially with, like... Because I know, obviously, there's the need to want to encapsulate a wide audience, get their eyes on it, so you bank on nostalgia to bring them in. But I think I like when the kind of plucky ones that weren't that great get redone into something amazing, and Battlestar's the best example of it. Because for those of y'all who don't know, I'll be honest, as somebody who watched the original and was around on Saturday for that, I can tell you honestly with confidence, the original Battlestar wasn't great. I said with absolute confidence, fight me, I don't care. The original Battlestar was not great. It was the pool was Dwight Schultz, was basically, yeah, because, yeah, that was the pool, because he was he's cute, what have you. But it was kind of more of the same. New Battlestar, I remember sitting down and I did not want to watch it. I was like, oh, whatever. And I watched it at a friend's house and we almost missed our tram home because I was like, I'm sorry, what am I watching? What is this? And I do wonder about it because, I mean, like, I've been stung because V remake stung me hard, as I said in the beginning. And I think the thing I didn't like with it is the kind of disingenuous nature of bringing in Jane Badler and Mark Singer in the second season, because it stank of a kind of, oh, this is going to shit, let's bring these people in. But it's like, if you had kind of incorporated them in the beginning, there could have been something really interesting here. But you didn't do that. You kind of didn't have the faith. And that's what I worry about with, like, I'm really worried about it with Quantum Leap.
Yeah, because, like, remakes can go either two ways. It can go the way of Battlestar, or it can go all the way of Bionic Woman.
Ooh.
I didn't even touch that.
I did.
You did.
I made
it. Well, that might go from EastEnders.
You did. Yeah. Michelle Ryan?
Michelle Ryan?
Yeah. Like, to be fair, she wasn't bad in it, but it just. It had potential. But.
I do feel like sometimes some of the things that are bad, just leave them alone, innit? Just.
Bad. It wasn't great either, but it wasn't bad.
Yeah, I mean, like I'm very. I don't have the blinkers on. I fully take on that Quantum Leap is not something that is exceptional. There are episodes in it where you go, oh, that is a really good one. But in general, it's a good little show. Do you get what I mean? Mm. It's a personal favorite. It's something I wouldn't put out like to go toe to toe against the heavy here. Do you know what I mean? So I worry about that, and I worry about like what's it for. And I think like whereas like with something new, I don't know about you guys. I'm so interested. I know that like, when I watch something or listen to something, I give it like two episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But when it's a remake, I'm even harsher.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, I'll give you one. Like, and, like, V kind of slightly had me in the first one, and then it got boring. It got boring halfway through episode two of the remake, and I was like, are you kidding me? And it just got worse. And the thing I didn't like is I could kind of see what they were trying to do. I could see that, because they hyped up some violence in some parts of it, because there isn't a moment like that moment when you first watch the original V and Diana eats the guinea pig and there's the thing in the throat. There's no comparable moment because you knew it was going to come. So they kind of hyped up like people being skinned. And I'm like, we don't need to go here. And then it just became really, really boring. So it's like it had nothing new to bring to the table. And I just switched off and didn't go back again. And then when I think one of y'all tapped me and was like, Jane Badler's coming back. And I was like, oh, well, of course. And then I went in and I was like, oh, Jane, it's not your fault. It's the script. You can't polish a turd, love. Sorry. And then they were like, bringing the Mark Singer. I'm like, oh, okay. They're really scraping the bottom. And they brought him in and I was like, yeah, no. Yeah, no. So I mean, it's good to hear that you liked it, especially because I know how much of a fan you are.
Mm.
But
no, it was no Young MacGyver, so I can say about that.
Thank God for that.
But yeah. Okay, before I go, I think I'm going to talk about one more thing. Like, when it comes to my favourite episodes of MacGyver, there's always the ones when it's his day off. Like, because my man just want to go fishing. Like, every time we want to go fishing, the first time I saw him, he wants to go fishing. He got caught up in a bank heist, basically.
Of course.
And the second time was probably my favorite. I had another one of my favorite tropes, which is dumb. I always find this trope so dumb.
Which one is it?
I'm ugly. You're not ugly.
Oh God, is it? I'm ugly. I've just put my glasses. Took my glasses off.
No, it's worse. Okay,
my hair. Okay. Is it the hair? God, the hair's what I hate.
Okay, the episode I'm talking about. It's not like that, but there's another episode that actually that now brought it up. It reminded me of it. But the day off episode. He's trying to go fishing, but he happens to run into a pregnant woman who's evading her criminal boyfriend who impregnated her and tricked her into liking her so he could build an empire of crime on her wealth. And my guy had to stop it, and he did, obviously, because it's MacGyver, he does these things. He was able to help the woman give birth to a baby as well, which is
of course
it's MacGyver.
But it's not quite a 90s thing without someone giving birth at some point.
And she was like, she had major self confidence issues. I think her thing was the hair was a bit much, but still, it was like, No. But my favourite I Am Ugly moment in MacGyver, there was an episode called The Ugly Duckling, ironically. So it was like a 14-year-old kid who was probably 20-something years old. And
stretch marks. Yeah. Serious scar.
So, like, you could tell they were in a meeting room thinking, how can you make this kid look ugly? Let's think about it. Okay, I won't say it. I've got it. Give a short hair. Short hair. Okay. But no, we need to get more ugly. Let's make her a bit of a tomboy. Almost there. One more thing. I got it. You're not thinking, yes. That's a bit too much. No, we've got to do it. Are you crazy? Double denim.
To be fair.
We're going to give her double denim. Double denim.
That puts you on the spectrum. You are unpretty with double denim. Actually, no, the thing that's unprettier is triple denim. I've seen it once.
Triple?
Look, the 90s were a scary time. Do you not remember, like, you could get, like, jeans with a waistcoat and a jean shirt? Triple.
Yo.
Triple denim. Triple? Boy.
I'm not gonna lie, I've done triple denim once. I regret it. Yeah. I thought it looked good.
It's okay, bruv. I too have done triple denim. I had jeans and a denim and a jean jacket, and the jean jacket had like fleece on, and like in the imprint had like comics.
I actually remember that jacket. Holy shit.
Yeah. Okay, you're safe and I'm safe. Triple denim. I'm pretty. I was single that whole time. And I had a curly perm, so just, yeah, I was looking to remain very single.
You actually kind of remind me of the girl in the episode of you, but...
So really, what we are saying is that actually worked. They were right. They knew their audience.
Even though I thought she was still quite attractive, but then, you know, by the end of the episode, she had girled herself up. And
if she didn't have a curly perm, I don't want to hear about it. That's what I'm trying to say.
Did she have a curly perm at the end of it? Please don't check that now. Did she have a curly?
I'm gonna say, because she did, then they were on brand for the time. They were on very on brand for the time. Yeah. Whew. Lord.
Well, I think we should call it a day there, because my tooth.
Or a triple denim.
That and my tooth is killing me.
Oh, your tooth is killing you. Oh my gosh, bless you. Well, thank you for a little trip down memory lane. I thoroughly now I'm just like captivated by the Captain Planet kind of storylines on that, the way over my head. But thank you, bruv. Thank you. I know Christina Milian in the corner is knackered from doing her night shift, so we got to give you props for that. But thank you, everyone, for listening. Of course, if you want to reach out to us, please email at centjudeadventures@gmail.com. You can also check us out on Instagram at messed-up-pod. You can also check out our Twitter and messed. Bruv, what's your socials?
You can find me on YouTube under Instant Classic Gaming, where we're currently doing a series of It Takes Two with me and my sister.
So good
and so much fun. Some very funny moments. Check you will find one on TikTok. Actually, if you watch this, you should be watching this now. You'll find it on TikTok now, under Instant Classic Gaming. We're also on Instagram and Twitch under Instant Classic _gaming.
Awesome. Big man, Christina Milian, AM to PM. What's your socials?
You can follow me on Twitter at War3782 and on Instagram at Mr_Roberts_V1.
Probably tomorrow, because he's probably going to have a little kip now, because men's knackered. On that note, people, thank you as always for listening, downloading and interacting with us. Really appreciate it. We love doing this. Thank you, take care, and we will speak to you soon later on.
And bring that theme music of MacGyver.
Keep MacGyver in it. And That's Why We're Messed Up, produced by the St. Jude's Avengers, edited by Instant Classic Gaming, and music produced by Box Room Music.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.